Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Tuesday, February 11th, 2020. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, good to be here.
Glad you're with me today. Also today, to talk about the issues, I have Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Kelly.
Glad you're here. Now, Andrew, this was a thing that you discovered, a story that you wrote up about a company called Clearview AI.
Yeah, they're a little startup. Last month, the New York Times did a big profile piece on them, but before that, they were not very well known. They are a facial recognition company. They work pretty closely with law enforcement to provide them with this big database of public photos that they scraped off the internet. And they say they work with 600 law enforcement agencies, and that they also have a database of 3 billion photos. And so basically, they're just using this service so that a police officer could upload a photo of a suspect, and then the database would tell them, would like match the face with all the other photos it has of it, and also a link to where they found it.
Oh, nice.
And so recently, companies like Facebook, Google, Microsoft, YouTube, I think, they're all telling this Clearview AI to stop scraping their users' pictures from their services. And so that's the issue right now.
Can I interject?
It's your turn, so yes.
Yay! Let's see here. One thing is this. The CEO of the company, Mr. Tan Thatt, said, according to Ars Technica, quote, Google can pull in information from all different websites. So if it's public and it's out there and could be inside Google search engine, it could be inside ours as well. The thing is that Google went and got that information. Like, you know, like, LOL that I'm suddenly the defender of Google. Like, this company could actually be, like, crappy enough to make me want to defend Google. But Google went and scraped all of the sites. And this company is simply, like, taking it from Google. It's an apples and oranges comparison between what the Clearview is doing and what Google does. And Facebook, actually Facebook could be scraping stuff. Facebook is simply like letting us do the scraping for them. So again, you know, screw you, Clearview. You're the bad guys here, period, end of sentence. And LOL, Peter Thiel is one of the backers of this company. Peter Thiel is the guy who destroyed Gawker magazine for invading his privacy. So he's backing this company that is hell-bent on destroying our privacy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, screw you, Clearview.
No, so that's, like, what, that's where we're at.
Who are the companies that are like pissy with them? It's Twitter. Mm-hmm. It's the Facebook. Yeah. It's the Google, the Venmo, the LinkedIn, i.e. Microsoft.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all telling them to get off their lawn because they'll be the companies that are invading our privacy. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is another one of those things where part of the reason that we want to talk about it is awareness. Like, this is a thing that's out there and people should know about it. So the interesting thing to me is that there continues to, it sounds like anyway, there continues to be fallout after this New York Times piece that kind of exposed what they were up to. And it's been a thing to watch. So, huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that quote Brian shared about Clearview doesn't do anything that Google doesn't. He's making the argument that what he's doing is protected by the First Amendment.
Okay.
He would have a better argument if he was scraping stuff himself. Like, if they were doing the original work, I would have a tiny, tiny bit of sympathy with that position. But like I say, as it is, they're just, you know, piggybacking off of the work that other companies have done. Yeah. And the irony and the gall. I mean, don't get me wrong. The irony and the gall of Facebook and Google to be pissy about this is also strong. They're, you know, the irony game here is strong all around.
Yes. It's.
Yeah, because my headline was not wanting surveillance competition. Facebook tells Clearview AI to back off.
Which is the right headline. I feel like that's really where we're at. So, yeah, again, awareness on this kind of stuff is the part that's important. So, yeah, 2020, where we have to, where Brian ends up on the side of Facebook on anything. Yeah, that's where we're at.
Kind of.
Buckle up, kids.
Let's not oversell that particular alliance.
It's been a long year, right? All right.
Yeah, it's just, you know, this. I've talked many times about police and how law enforcement and I should say law enforcement instead of police, because I'm talking about the FBI, talking about the local police forces. I'm talking about all forms of. In particular, you know, most of these topics tend to concern the U.S., and so that's definitely where I'm based. So that's where my perspective is starting from. Mm-hmm. But the police want to do their job better.
Yes,
they want to stop the bad guys. They want to stop the crimes from happening. They want to catch the bad guys when a crime is committed, and. That is so very understandable. And in the age of our devices, the age of the internet, the age of facial recognition, they want to employ all those tools so that they can better do their jobs. And there's very little nefarious in the desire to do their jobs better. The problem is that wanting to do their jobs better starts smacking up against our right to privacy. Like what was Ron Wyden's quote? So Senator Ron Wyden of the great state of Oregon said, quote, "This story reads like one of the more disturbing episodes of Black Mirror. Americans have a right to know where their personal photos are secretly being sucked into a private facial recognition database." And he mentioned something about, "So your actions with this room, something about being able to like walk around and live your lives anonymously." And we also have a very natural desire to do that, to walk around and live our lives anonymously, mm-hmm. without being subject to every police state surveillance photo, you know, the system that there is, or without, quite frankly, also being monitored and surveilled by the corporate world. So yeah,
agreed.
And we have to push back on this stuff. When this stuff happens, when this stuff comes to the light of day, we have to push back on it.
Yes, absolutely.
If we don't, this stuff is going to be a fact of life very quickly.
Yes. So that's why we're talking about it. We want to make sure people are aware this is a thing that's happening. It's important. That's why we talk about it here. So now that we've talked about something important, we're going to talk about something slightly less important to some people, but way more important to some other people. And that is a rumor that Andrew has come across about the iPhone 9.
Yeah, so yesterday, a case-making company called Totally, they sent me images of their case for the iPhone SE 2. They claim that they have a good track record of putting out cases before a iPhone is released. They say they've been doing this for 7 years. I can't verify that figure, but last year they did send me cases for the iPhone 11 before it was announced, and it did accurately predict that square camera bump and the form factor. Yeah. So we do get a little.
We did talk about that at the time. I think that they sent you this case with this giant square cutout in the back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the reason why I'm calling this one the iPhone 9 is because when you're looking at this picture, you would think that you're just looking at an iPhone 6 or 7. It doesn't have that same form factor as the original SE. Okay. Because the word iPhone 9, I think, has only been appearing in the last month or two. Because Charlotte had written about this thing, I think it was last week, where there's an ad appearing in South Korea calling it the iPhone 9.
Oh, yeah.
So I think people who are fans of that smaller SE form factor might be disappointed.
Yeah, I think so. Because that's really what people wanted, was something that still fits in a pocket of a reasonable... Well, yeah, I'm talking about like the people who are still in love with the SE that they have. They want the same outsides with updated innards. And I wish that were a thing that would happen. I would buy one if that were the case. But I don't think so. So I think it's going to be something more 6, 7, 8 sized.
Yeah, the one thing that the smaller form factor has in its favor is emerging markets and price.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is cheaper to make a smaller device because of the screen, mostly.
Mm-hmm.
So if we do end up seeing another small form factor, I think we can probably... thank emerging markets for that, but you know, we don't really have anything solid yet, do we?
So the other thing I would want to know about this, Andrew, is does the case look like, and I don't know if there's any way to tell because it's usually the front, is there a home button or is it Face ID? Because I would guess that if this is an emerging market phone like Brian's talking about, that it would definitely be a Touch ID device.
Yeah, actually, let me go to their website really quick.
Because I'm...
Because I only post shared one picture, which was, you know, just the back of it.
Yeah. Because just sort of thinking out loud, like, they've done the research on the Touch ID. It's a thing that's, like, more than recovered its cost at this point. So if they put it in anything, like, there's really no work they have to do for that, for the most part. You know, they know how to put Touch ID on a phone that size. So,
yeah. So other pictures is just the back.
Okay.
My thought is that since it is affordable, it probably will stay with Touch ID unless they've figured out a way to make a cheap version of Face ID.
Yeah.
Because Face ID is more secure.
Yeah. But Touch ID is still far and away more secure than a lot of other options. Like particularly like a passcode and thing. And at least if you have Touch ID, then contactless payment is a thing that can be an option with Apple Pay and other services. So
don't forget the home button, though, is a moving part.
That's true.
And moving parts break.
Also true.
So that's another balance.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, I'm going to be honest. So I'm just about finished with the iPad for Dummies update.
Yeah.
And it becomes really, really problematic to write about, like, you know, on HomePods with home buttons, you do this. And on HomePods with Face ID, you do this. It becomes very, very awkward. And it's hard to not have it be awkward.
Oh, sure.
So I wish Apple would, you know, like take everything to USB-C, please. If you're going to do USB-C, take it all to USB-C and take us all to Face ID so that Dummies books are easy to write. Duh. Yeah.
That's a good idea. I was curious after, Andrew, when you wrote this about iPhone 9, just because because I had an 8 and I always called it the 7S because there was never a 7S.
Yeah.
So... that's why it was sort of funny to me that it became the 9 instead of like the 8S. So apparently we don't, like, there was a 10S though. So yeah. Apple and names, man, how do they work? So That was like the question I had about it, was like, iPhone 9, that sounds weird. SE2 is also probably not the right name for it, because it's not that phone again. So I am curious about that. Andrew or Brian, like you said, Touch ID, the home button would be a moving part. And that's true, but I also bet it would be more repairable than if something went wrong with Face ID.
Did anything ever go wrong with Face ID?
I don't know, if a camera went bad or something. If a camera went bad or something, that's all I can think of. So, I don't know. I'm just sort of thinking out loud here.
Whatevs, man. Don't harsh my buzz.
I'm totally not trying to harsh your buzz. I'm just sort of wondering. But I do remember, like I said before, Andrew, I do remember talking about that other case. I don't remember if they sent you one or if it was that they said they had them to send you or something.
Well, they sent me the ones for the iPhone 11. They did offer to send me this one, but I said, well, I don't really plan to get this phone, so I couldn't really write an honest review of it.
Yeah. Okay. If there were an SE2, you wouldn't pick one up?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Brian, how about you?
Mm. Yeah, I'm using 11 Pro. I'm super stoked with it.
Yeah, I think it would have to be really compelling for a lot of people, honestly, just because we're 3 years into Face ID. So if it did have a home button, it might be a step back for some people. I have finally broken my thumb on the bottom of the screen habit, which took a lot longer than I thought it would. So I'm interested to see where this ends up. If it turns out to be anything, I'm very curious what it's going to look like, because what I remember of the SE coming out was that it was the 6S inside a 5S case. So it was pretty comparable. It was, you know, the current model phone, which was a 6S in a slightly smaller case. And had that been an option when I was ready to upgrade, when the 6S came out in the fall, I would have bought the SE instead. And it would have been awesome. I would have been really excited about it because I really did like that size of phone. I was sad to leave it behind.
Pockets, everything is right for me, so I don't care.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. When you wear men's pants, it's less of an issue, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm taken care of, so really, I just don't care. Mostly kidding. I'm sorry, Andrew.
You're only sort of kidding, I know.
So basically, just to wrap it up with some more iPhone SE2 or iPhone 9 rumors, what I've been hearing is that we might see this in March, and it might have a price of, I think, $399.
Oh, dang.
So even though it doesn't have the SE form factor, it's still supposed to be the next affordable phone.
Interesting.
All right.
I'm really curious what the insides of that will be, just for my own, to satisfy my own curiosity. I wonder what that would be. Also, the camera. What camera do you put in a phone that's $399? Considering what the phones go for, what the phones we have out now are going for, so...
Yeah. Interesting. Plus, this case just has, you know, one single camera bump.
Oh, okay. We'll have to see then. We'll find out soon, I guess, because if it's March, that's not all that far away. We will find out soon if totally called this one as well. If you have strong feelings about the SE, if you still have one, I know a non-zero number of people who do. If you still have one and love it, if you would like to upgrade to something that's the same size, or if you'd be okay with something a little bigger, let us know. You can get us at observations@macobserver.com. You can get us at TMO Daily on Twitter, or you can leave comments in the show notes. Thank you both for being here today. Brian, thanks for coming by.
Yep, thanks for having us.
Andrew, thanks for being here as always.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I am Kelly Gamon. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other. We'll be right back.